Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Okay, motherfucker!
What are you looking at, sir?
I'm looking at you, miss.
Run that, baby.
I'm not the Zodiac. And if I was, I certainly wouldn't tell you.
Welcome back to the 1-8-Minute Productions podcast. I'm your host, Blake Howard. This is a very special bonus episode where I talk to Australia's Kitty Green, an incredible documentarian of films like Ukraine Is Not a Brothel and the absolutely outstanding outsider documentary Casting JonBenet, about her turning features. Her film The Assistant is an absolutely chilling life changer for all those people, my wife included, who've been assistants out there. But her latest film, The Royal Hotel, is a return to Oz. But she comes back with her star of The Assistant, Julia Garner, Jessica Hennick, and an incredible array of Australian character actors to explore this kind of outback potboiler. It is a really terrific film. It has just recently premiered at South by Southwest. It's been premiering all around the world. Hopefully, you're going to be able to get a chance to get your eyes on it, both on the cinema screen or potentially on video on demand. But I would strongly recommend that this tight 90 is well worth your time on the big screen. Before I jump into a chat with Kitty about her influences, her process, the tight technical dance of achieving like a large feature film scale with such a short turnaround, I want you guys to have a listen to the trailer, and then Kitty and I will come and have a chat. And I hope you enjoy it very much. Here's the trailer to The Royal Hotel.
Physically, it's not a very demanding job. The only thing that can be a little bothersome is the remoteness of the location.
Will there be kangaroos?
We're in the middle of nowhere.
Yep.
Down the back, up the stairs.
Down the back.
Up the stairs, mate.
You're the new girls.
Yeah. We're on vacation. We should be on a beach somewhere.
We have sunshine and booze in a box.
Let's put up with it for a few weeks. Make some cash.
It'll toughen us up.
Right. Gold is for Cold Gold. Red is Redland.
Honey's in his hand.
You get him a beer.
Why do you want to come all the way out here?
It was the furthest away.
Lean in a little when you serve down, eh?
Dickens?
Dickens cider?
They're disgusting.
It's a tip.
That's enough.
You want me to go?
Hey?
We're leaving. We're out.
Where are you gonna go, eh? Bus is not for 2 days.
I'm scared of everyone and everything in this place.
Make what you can. Get on the bus and go.
You gonna hit me with that?
We'll take it.
Great. Get the paperwork started.
Thank you. What?
Kitty, firstly, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to me. Congratulations on the film. I'm a big fan of your work. Really quickly before we get to the Royal Hotel, I have to say I gave my wife a copy of your film, The Assistant, and she is an assistant. And it was one of the most triggering experiences for her in her life. And after a one and done watch, she was like, I've never seen a film that more accurately captures just the tension that is in the air of being an assistant. And I think it was part of the reason why it inspired her to start her own business to get out of being an assistant. So I wanted to say thank you. Wow. Because that's amazing. The first time I can say that to a filmmaker. I showed her. Yeah. She was just like, she gets it, man. She gets it.
Yeah. Wow. I'm sorry. I mean, it sounds awful. I just found a way out.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I think one thing that is kind of present in your films, both The Assistant and The Royal Hotel, is like just like atmospheres of feelings, right? And intuition and just kind of, I don't know, like the psychological torture of space. So congratulations on this film. And I wanted to sort of go back because Australians, you know, you as an Aussie filmmaker, like Australians, usually when you talk to international people, like, and you ask them about Australian films, like, I never want to go there. Like, I never want to go there. I'm scared of the animals. I've seen Wake in Fright. It's never happening. I'm never going to your country. I've seen Wolf Creek. So I wondered, like, at you as someone who had gone off and started to make films internationally, like, what was the inspiration for The Royal Hotel and you coming to this film? And wanting to bring, I guess, both a local and an international perspective to this kind of very uniquely kind of like traveler sort of experience of Australia.
I don't know. I mean, I was looking to make an Australian film. I went to film school here and I made films here, but then yeah. I went off overseas and just made films there. So the idea of making one back home was important to me, and my parents were kind of wanting me to visit. So that, you know. Good opportunity to spend some time with them. But I don't know, I saw this documentary. I wanted it to be the right project, I guess, if I was taking it on. And I saw this documentary, Hotel Gulati, that was about two Scandinavian women working in an outback pub. And immediately I was like, oh, this is interesting. Not just the sort of the dynamics at play, the gender dynamics, the power dynamics at play, but also the environment was interesting. It really made it, you could see the space. It really showed this. It was the side of Australia that was a kind of really visually kind of unique. So yeah, there was a few elements that kind of lined up that made me feel like it also felt like it could be a good project to work with Julia Garner again, to be honest. And so that was exciting to me, the idea of working with her, who was an assistant. So yeah,
there she's become a bit of a muse of yours.
Attractive. A bit of a what? Sorry.
A bit of a muse. She's like a muse.
Yeah. Yeah, is she a muse? I don't know if it's a muse. It's sort of like she's like an avatar. I don't know, kind of share the character in a way. And we have an interesting bond that I don't know how much of it's her, how much of it's me. It's kind of a shared process.
Yeah, that's well, whatever inspiration is being taken, you guys are both delivering, because the assistant is tremendous and she's absolutely outstanding. And she's once again outstanding in this. And I feel like after watching the assistant, having tried to stay, knowing that I was going to talk to you, I did my darndest to stay away from, to have a very clean viewing of the Royal Hotel, as I hope that many people who are listening eventually get for themselves. But it's like one thing that I think that you're fantastic at is just creating an atmosphere that people have to dwell in. And then when you're there, things may or may not be happening on the screen, or frightening things or scary things or just interesting things, fun things. But it's, there's always this, I don't know, there's like an undercurrent that I think you play in, that your films show a whole lot above the surface, but there's like an iceberg. It's like there is so much going on under the surface. And I feel like Julia Garner is the perfect kind of person for that, because she does that so wonderfully. Like there's always something else going on with her, in her eyes, in her face. It's terrific.
Yeah. I mean, she just doesn't have to do much, and she sort of telegraphs a lot. Like people can kind of read into what she's thinking quite easily. It's a really, it's unique and it's wonderful. And so it's very, I'm fortunate that I can just pop her in a space and space, and it sort of works for me. So simple as that.
So I want to talk about the rest of your cast, because I think that when non-Aussies might check out this film, you know, they're going to be looking at it and sort of obviously see Julia and obviously know you, and Jessica Hennick is sort of a bit of an exploding actor as well, like being in lots of things and popping up everywhere. But the moment that you get to the Royal Hotel itself, you know, it's absolutely stacked with fantastic Australian faces. You know, Ursula Jovich, Hugo Weaving, James Frenchville, who I really adore as well. And then obviously people like Daniel Henschel, Barbara Lowing, who plays Glenda, is another dynamite character in this thing. So when you're casting like the rest of those faces, are you just cherry picking the very best of the folk that you want to work with? Or is there a specific look? Because I imagine when you're thinking about a mining town, you're thinking about this kind of place that outsiders go into and they don't know whether they're going to be threatened or whether they're going to be embraced. I think you have to really dance perfectly. Like there's a like great tone that you strike where everyone, if you weren't familiar with them, you might think, oh, they're like good looking, cute, Toby Wallace, you know, James Frenchville, they're young, they're attractive, but at the same time, they've all got this edge. And so I wonder, is that just innate for you as an Aussie going, yep, that's the one?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, we wrote, it's a few steps to the process. Like Oscar, who is my co-writer, and I wrote these characters together. We kind of were trying to figure out what their weaknesses were, what they, we knew they all were trying to get the girls' attention, and ultimately their intentions are pure. It's like we just want to connect these women, but they're just, their own failings are kind of getting in the way, you know, whether that's alcoholism or James's character's got some aggression he can't get his hands on, like wrap around, he can't kind of fully control. So there's things like that going on that we're still that we just sort of figured out kind of who each person was. And then the challenge was casting them so that they each felt different. It wasn't like they were all the same guy, but they each brought a different energy to the piece. And we were fortunate enough that we could literally just watch the best movies and think, well, who's the guy? Oh, that guy from Snowtown, that guy from Animal Kingdom, that guy from Baby Teeth, and pull them all together and, make them a little movie. So we were very lucky they all said yes, which was wonderful.
So when you were shooting, you shot, I know you shot in Adelaide, like or South Australia, when you were making this. Is it different, like being in a tactile space? I wonder how much like you're occupying that space, you're out there. How much were you inspired when you were there shooting it for like, or because I'm just curious about your process. Was it storyboarded within an inch of its life, or was it like, no, we're going to get into this space and just see how the space interacts when we've got all these people here? Because obviously when it's set at a single location with a couple of, you know, dalliances around, but was the space informing some of your choices with how the film was sort of progressing, and did any of it change because you're like, oh, the space just works so much better if we do things like this?
So we found the exterior location and we shot out a few hours north of Adelaide for the exteriors. And actually all the upstairs of the pub was shot there too. But we built the bar as a set. So we built the interior. So we kind of built it to fit our purposes.
And yes.
I'd sort of, when writing it, would had imagined it being a U-shape, mostly because in the Hotel Coolgardie, it's a bit of a U-shape, which means you can kind of get these lines of sight, you know, from different directions. You can kind of, there's different things going on. So it was sort of the challenge was building. And we, with the, I mean, the luxury with building is you can kind of make it fit the way you'd and then it was about, we needed 7 weeks to shoot it. That was what was originally scheduled. We couldn't get that budget. So we got cut back to 5 weeks and everyone was sort of saying, oh, this is not enough time. And I was convinced we can do it. We'll plan it all and we'll get it done within the 5 weeks instead of just cutting shots like a crazy person going, well, that scene can be one shot and that scene can be one shot and that scene can be two shots and really getting it down so that we could get it done within the time. And because it was such a tight schedule, we didn't have the room to improvise and play. And so the space doesn't really inform what we're doing. We inform the space. Like we say to the space, you need to do this because we need to get this scene done in six shots, which means we need to be able to see these people all in this one. And so it becomes very technical and very, it becomes about time. And then the actors are sort of, a few of them were a bit grumpy about that in the beginning because they have all these ideas. Like actors come to a script with ideas as to what they want to do. And they're kind of hemmed in a little bit by the coverage because the film works in a way where if Julia's not looking at you, you're not on camera. It's sort of like Julia's perception of this space is paramount. We had to, once they got used to that kind of rhythm, then they realized where there was room to play and where they could, within their kind of parameters of what we were doing, they were able to kind of have some fun and experiment. But it was a very tight, plan, and it was, we stuck to it essentially.
It's funny that you say that Hotel Gugatti was a massive inspiration because obviously, another one of the big films and that you made was Casting JonBenét, which is one of the wildest viewing experiences that I've ever had. It's just like, especially for an outsider, because you always hear about these stories and the fascination of these different things. And just to watch the participants of your documentary, like so wholeheartedly get into this grooming of, almost like a pageantry of like getting this child ready to go. It was such a wild experience. And I think it perfectly applied to your, great outsider eye. So I wonder what the dance is between you. Is that like a cycle that you find yourselves in, that you're more inspired by these real life documentaries or these real life stories, and then that informs what your next choice is going to be? Because, just looking at charting your career, it's like this starts in doco and then you've gone and made some obviously feature narrative films. But do you find that there's a constant dialogue that you have for yourself between narrative films and documentary?
I studied fiction filmmaking, but I moved into documentary because I couldn't, get a fiction film fine one and straight out of film school. So I made docs because I could make them myself. And I could make them really cheaply and I could still learn about the craft and learn about storytelling and all that stuff that way. And so then it becomes just as you're moving through project by project, just like I kind of, the subject is what I'm interested in first and foremost and kind of the themes of whatever that is. And then it's figuring out the form and what fits and how to tell that story. And so that becomes kind of secondary. But so I don't really go at it thinking about, I want to make a documentary. I kind of go at it going, what do I want to explore? What am I interested in looking at? And that kind of is the first thing. I like to have, the nice thing about having, with the assistant, we did a lot of research into those jobs. And with Royal Hotel, we didn't do a lot because Cool Guardi existed and we had this sort of draft kind of document that we could kind of play with. And then we added our own stuff to that, so it kind of, it also just, the world feels full and real and fully realized when you have that research or that sort of inspiration,
Yes. In a way. Yeah.
Otherwise it can feel quite slim or quite fake or something.
Yeah. It's starting with the theme and then the research. What was your biggest lesson then? Because JonBenét was just, it was the year leading up to what, like now you've leapt into a couple of, obviously The Servant and Royal Hotel and The Assistant. But was there like a defining lesson at the outset of coming out of, especially working in the nonfiction realm of your last nonfiction that has now defined everything besides the research? Was there one particular thing of like having these real people there? Was there any of those lessons that you directly applied to, say, the Royal Hotel?
Really, I feel like some documentary makers really struggle when they move into fiction because they're just so loose and free and they kind of shoot and it's fly on the wall and I'll never know what will happen. But I was always quite my docs were kind of constructed. I knew where what I needed. I knew, went out for certain things. I kind of shot them in like a feature, you know, in a way.
Yes.
That, so it just wasn't a huge leap. I guess the biggest surprise has just been what a great actor can bring, you know what I
yes.
mean? And working, and it's that probably the moment that hit me was when I did The Assistant. And I have this, we had a scene with Matthew McFadden from Succession and Julia from Ozark, you know, and the two of them together, and what that could, what, how that did, they just lift it off the page and it turns into something completely different and elevates it in that way, was really the biggest learning experience. So then it's about cast. I mean, it becomes about casting and who, what dynamics work, who works with who. Chemistry is really important. Like, get, Julia was actually able to, I let her choose Toby Wallace.
Yeah.
I wanted someone for her to choose who that was, who her kind of love interest was, you know, in a way. And I think that helps, like, that, like, just trying to figure out the energy, you know, what works is it really important. So I learned a lot about, yeah, that, I guess, that sort of side of it, which is something that's definitely not part of documentary. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because you can be loosey-goosey until you find the most fascinating subject. And then you're like, okay, and then sometimes things morph or mutate because you're like, this is actually the person that I want to focus on because they're the most fascinating. But that's so interesting what you said of like letting Julie kind of like pick. That's so cool because it's like you hear about this, you know, for folks who are not like constantly in filmmaking talk or don't know sort of the technical stuff. It's like people will have chemistry reads. They'll be down to three people and they're like, these three people, one of them is going to be the person, and it's all about the chemistry of that read and then watching it and then validating with, you know, maybe producers or your creative partners to be like, is this the one or do I feel it? And it's like, that's the one as soon as they feel it. But interesting that they felt it together and she had such a direct role in like, you know, guiding that choice. That's so cool.
Yeah, I gave her some options. She couldn't pick anyone.
Of course, within reason, within reason.
Yeah,
because exactly. Then everyone would be like Gosling, you know, I'll just have Gosling if I could. He's he's not Australian. He's pretty busy right now. So, yeah, you know, exactly. we can't make that happen. That's not always the case. How have you found, because you've started to release this, obviously it's got some screenings at South by Southwest in Sydney. How have you found the reception of the film? Especially I wonder, have you had a chance to watch it like a few times with an audience and have you enjoyed their experience? Because I know that filmmakers sometimes really love, you know, not everyone wants to do the whole test screening thing. It's usually reserved for sort of big blockbusters or whatever. But I wonder, do you find any enjoyment in watching an audience watch the film and see how they're being played? And if that sort of, if all of your technical stuff that is happening as you're building this thing is working with an audience?
Yeah, I mean, we did some test screenings, which I in Sydney and actually in other parts of Australia. We were trying to, just because I don't know, with a film like this, it's a complicated one, but I don't even know, but I felt like it was something that was important to just see how the kind of people were responding to it, specifically Australians, because we were worried that, you know, they might feel like we're attacking them or the culture, which we're not doing. And so just making sure that our message was going through in the right way was really important early up. But the weird thing about it was we premiered it in the States first and then in the UK, and now we're in Australia, and it feels so good to be back here because there's a lot more laughter and a lot more enjoyment of the film in a way. Like, I think Australians pick up on the nuances. They're not afraid to kind of see the warmth in the characters and see kind of the also the problems and also the sort of darkness. And so, yeah, I don't know, it's playing really well here. We played really well at South by. We opened the Adelaide Film Festival the other day and that went really well too, so we're feeling good about, you know, getting it out into cinemas and having Australians see it.
Yeah, I mean, I've as a massive fan of James Frenchville, like I know he's such a dullard in some parts of this movie, but I was like, I can't not just go, oh, yeah, poor. You know, it's just like that friend of yours who you're always like, why do you always do that? Like, what is your problem? You know, so there's true, you know, the true warmth of that. You're like, oh, okay, I get it. And I can get it. And not being completely off put. And it is quite hilarious for Aussies to hear Julia as Hannah be like, did you hear what he just called me? You know, it's like, yeah, we heard and we hear it all the time. It is different. So I have to ask, like,
Is there, when you're doing this kind of movie, because we do have like, I don't know what it is. Like it's a great, this is a great genre movie in many ways. Like it's so much, you know, it's more thematically complex. You know, I don't think genre is a dirty word. I love genre movies. So I feel like it's a genre movie, but is there anything for you as a, like a younger filmmaker, do you ever like, besides like Hotel Coolgardie, which is like a blueprint, your research that you could go back to, was there ever an awareness of like, okay, when you're pitching this thing, we're going to make, you know, we're going to sort of make a Wake in Friday. We're going to like take this sort of outback. We're going to go into Australia. We're going to do that. And I imagine like, as you said, when you're screening it to international audiences, you may already have a fear of like, everything in Australia is dangerous, even kangaroos. You know, even recently there was a tweet of a kangaroo that had trapped a guy's dog in a lake, and it was an American person tweeted, said, if there's any more proof you need to not go to Australia, it's that kangaroos can even attack you, and they're meant to be these adorable things. So like, was there ever an awareness that you guys are of a piece with a whole like series of films, or is it like, no, we're going in fresh, we're taking a much more, I guess, research based and trying to bring some freshness to it with both a female voice, but anchored by these two great female performances by Jessica and Julia at the top.
It was we watched a lot of those movies, and a lot of them are reference points, and like Wake and Fright and Straw Dogs, and there's like a lot of pictures in an Australian film, but it has that kind of similar kind of town versus foreigners kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's a lot of stuff that we looked at, but I think once you start writing it, I mean, it becomes its own thing. And I think the girls, I mean, the horror tropes are kind of there not unintentionally, but we have to almost fight them. Like as soon as you see those women turn up there, everyone assumes it's Wolf Creek and they're going to die. And so we're trying to challenge that by creating a narrative that isn't leading you down that, you know, path, leading you elsewhere. And so that's becomes like this playing around with the genre and the conventions and the tropes of it was really a fun part of like putting the film together, and sort of how much do we lean genre here and where do we go with it, and how do we kind of give us, you know, promote whatever, have the mission statement or message that we want in ultimately at the end of the movie. But yeah,
it's I love your wrestle with the tropes. It's I don't want to spoil it because I want people to see this film, and I want them to, and I know that they'll enjoy it watching it, but I think in like The Assistant and in The Royal Hotel, there's a sort of continuity of the worst possible thing on the horizon, and is it going to happen, and are we going to get there? And I think the journey to that destination, whatever it is, for both of those films, for folks who haven't seen it, again, I don't want to spoil. I think you've got like such a great command of it. So yeah, you should be really proud of it. Like, well done.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, no, we're feeling good. I mean, the girls really love it. You know, Hugo was so lovely the other night. I was so excited to be there. And like we had Ursula at South By, which is wonderful. And so the cast are really fun and wonderful and happy, and we're feeling good moving into the release. Yeah.
More films at home? Or back off to the States?
Yeah, maybe. I hope so. Yeah. It sort of depends on, again, like whatever the next idea is. But it's nice working with Australians, and I'd like to keep doing that, you know. And we've had a good bunch of people. I'd love to work with all of them again. It'd be kind of weird if we brought everyone back.
I think it would be fun, because if you just took it into a completely different thing, it would just be super. You can break it. Yeah, like a theater troupe. Yeah, you're just like, can someone give Kitty like another amount of money that she needs to make, and this time maybe 6 or 7 weeks, and like just get it done.
7 weeks. I want 7 weeks.
Just 7 weeks, and then family will be happy that you're here for 7 weeks, and then we're good.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That's the goal.
Well, look, thank you so much for taking the time to chat to me on the show today. I'm a fan of your work, and I took the opportunity to do it, even though we don't usually digress with individual filmmakers on films. It's sort of a bit of a bonus on what we do, but I just want to say congrats, and looking forward to seeing the film get out there to bigger and bigger audiences. And I can't wait to see what you do next. And especially if you get the whole band back together and Julia as the band leader, I can't wait.
Great. Thank you so much. It's so lovely to chat.
No, lovely to chat to you too. Take care.
See you later. Bye.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.